Book of Revelation, chapter 6. Last week we looked at the first 8 verses. 4 of the 7 seals were open. We saw one that came and conquered with diplomacy, and then, of course, it actually is pictured a second horse, but really the same person who took peace from the earth. Then a third seal is opened, and the black horse and famine and deprivation follows. And then the fourth seal, we see the pale horse and the rider on him is death. The fourth part of the earth was killed, would be killed, and will be killed with the sword, with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. And we'll notice in that there will be war that takes life. There will be hunger and famine that will take life, and then with death or natural deaths, and then the beasts of the earth becoming predators because of the lack of food on the earth. And so it's going to be a trying time as the fourth seal opens. Then we have the fifth and the sixth seal in the remainder of this particular chapter, as well as on through chapter 7. The setting that is involved with the sixth seal, we'll look through the remainder of this particular chapter tonight. Beginning with verse 9, "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. They cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. It was said unto them that they should rest yet a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled." Well, we see in that seal, of course, that there are those that are going to pay a price, martyrdom, for their faith in the Lord. Now, we look at these particular people and this section of the book of Revelation, the things that are hereafter. And so this event falls into the area or the arena of the 7 years of great tribulation, as we call it. And certainly we see that there's going to be a price that is paid very dearly for the faith that they will hold. And their cry, of course, is, "How long, O Lord, dost thou not judge and avenge?" And certainly our Lord will one day judge and avenge the blood of every saint, every martyr that's ever been shed. And even in the tribulation, there will be a time that is set whenever they will be brought to task and judgment will prevail. But he talks about that little season, or at this particular point, it's not really too far in the future whenever there will be a consummation of all things as far as the tribulation is concerned. The 70th week of Daniel's prophecy will be brought to an end and then ushered in, of course, the kingdom as we would see it later on in this book. Then we have in verses 12 through 17 the seventh seal that is opened. This extends on through now the next chapter, but we'll only look at these verses. "And I beheld when it opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. The stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heavens departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and every island was moved out of their place. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every freeman hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" I think the real question, of course, in this setting is, who shall be able to stand? This sixth seal, as it is opened, there are some things here that are rather unusual and outstanding. There is a natural phenomenon that is going on. There's a great earthquake. And then the sun becomes black as sackcloth of hair. There's the eclipse of the sun. There's the moon that becomes as blood. Now, it does not become blood. You'll notice the setting and in this study of the book of Revelation, as well as any study of the book of Revelation, when you see the terminology used as it is here, the moon became as blood. It does not mean that it became blood, but this is what John saw it like and the likeness of it. So this is a simile, a type that, or a reference to something that is otherwise left unexplained. This is a likeness. And so the moon became as blood, and then the stars of heaven fall unto the earth. No doubt this will be a great meteorite shower that falls. It's recorded in history back in the early 1800s. There was a tremendously fierce meteorite storm that hit the earth, and it is said that folks began to wail and cry out because they thought that the end of the world had come. Well, they were not far wrong. There are signs that are going to be indicative of a time whenever the Lord is bringing to a close or a consummation the things that is required that He might, if you please, redeem back this earth and take it back from the usurper, even the devil himself. And so this is then the legal document that is required to be opened, that there might be a reclaiming of the earth, and God is working that work in this particular setting, and there will be natural phenomena that will occur, and the stars fall from heaven as even as a fig caster her untimely figs, or the unripe figs when they're shaken of a mighty wind, they simply fall to the ground, and this is the way the heavens will begin to fall. And so there is a tremendous what we might call a supernatural natural phenomenon that is going on at this particular time, and the heaven departs as a scroll, indicating that there's going to be in the stars themselves and in the sky above some signs that are certainly going to declare the soon coming of the Lord and the approach of His wrath. And then the earth as we know it, there will be a geographical change. Now, whether the earth will go back to its one continent condition at this time, I don't know. But if you'll study through the book of Genesis and on into the book, I believe it is, of First Kings, you'll find that there was a day in which the earth was divided. The literal continent, as we know them, were in one piece at one time. And then the Lord divided the earth in the days of Peleg, according to the Word of God, and there was a geographic change. Will there be another geographic change that will occur at this particular time of the opening of the sixth seal? Again, I don't know, and would not say with specificity that this is the time that the planet will be returned back to its original state as far as the continents are concerned, but it very well might be. But he said the mountains and the islands will be moved, and so there will be then a geographic change. But even more vivid is the description of the hearts of men as they become aware of what's going on. And this ought to dispel any idea that God is not a God to be feared. As we see the scene unfold as John would see it, revealed to him while he's caught up into heaven, that the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every freeman hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. Here are the ultimately what we would term the brave men of this planet. Those men that would stand without any fear and face death seemingly without any hesitation. All of a sudden their hearts failed them because of the surety that the day of the wrath of the Lamb is come. And they will cry for the rocks of the mountains to cover them, and they'll hide themselves in the dens of the earth. And they say in verse 16, to the mountain and rocks fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. So you rest assured that God's judgment is extremely severe, and whenever it begins to unfold, that the men that now stand with their boast and their arrogance and their defiance of God will be so terrified of God Himself that they'll ask to be hidden from His very face. I've always been persuaded that the men that stand now with brazen attitude, that they'll argue with God and they'll defy God even to the end, that they'll not do so in that particular day, but rather will be so terrified by the face of what they have before them and the surety of eternal judgment in separation from the presence of the Lord, as the wrath of the Lamb is fixed upon them, that their hearts will begin to fail them. And in verse 17, of course, it tells us why their hearts fail and why they cry out, because of the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Well, the only answer that you can give to that question is that only those who are found in Christ will stand. All others will be shaken. In the book of Hebrews, we're told that God has in times past shaken heaven and earth, and one more time He will shake heaven and earth, and everything that's movable will be taken out. And the only thing that will remain is that which is unmovable. And the only thing that I find in the Word of God that is unmovable is our God. So to stand in that day, we'll have to be found in the Lord. Because He is the strength of our life. He is the very salvation of our souls. And no wonder, again, David said, "The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Because that's the only ones that will stand, the only ones that will not move. Everything else will move. I trust you realize as well as I do that every religion will be moved. It'll not meet the criteria. Every dogma, every doctrine will be tried, and it'll be removed if it's not solid and secure in Christ. And men that have their hopes built on anything but the sure mercies of God because of the blood of Jesus Christ will be moved and will not be found. Because of the great day of His wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? Well, I want you to be assured that there is a security for the saints of God, but there's also a terror for the unsaved today. And the unsaved need to realize that that day, even though it seems the Lord is quite long in His dealing, one day the day of the Lord will come. As the writer of Hebrews said, "He who is to come and will not tarry." One day you rest assured that the heavens will depart as a scroll. There will be the cry from heaven itself, the voice, the shout from heaven itself, and the Lord Jesus Christ Himself shall descend from heaven with the shout. The voice of the archangel, the trump of God shall sound. And oh my, what a day. But the wrath of the Lamb will come. And we see that it's coming in that day. Now we look forward, of course, and this speaks of that day of the tremendous revelation. I am persuaded that there is involved in the great day of the Lord, as we would term it, actually three different events. There is the catching away of the saints, that's oftentimes referred to as the rapture of the saints or the rapture of the church. That will be the glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ in splendid glory when He comes riding on the white horse. On His thigh are written the name King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then, as we look at it in the final consummation of all things after the 1,000-year reign of Christ, that is an inclusiveness of the day of the Lord. But there is that time, I believe, when He comes in splendid glory, evident that He is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, that it is the day of His wrath. And this earth and the men that have defied Him and denounced Him will face the ultimate judgment of God and the fierce wrath of the Lamb. And who shall be able to stand? Again, only those that are found in the Lamb will be able to stand. Well, we'll stop our study there tonight. We feel like we need to have time to give thanks and pray.